What happens when a peacekeeping officer watches school children reenact war crimes to applause? For Urs Koenig, standing in post-war Kosovo with all his military training and regional expertise, that moment shattered his assumptions. He'd arrived confident in his understanding of the conflict, armed with strategies and solutions. But watching those children celebrate violence revealed a humbling truth. He'd been asking the wrong questions entirely. Instead of, how do I fix this, he needed to ask, what am I missing? That shift from certainty to curiosity became the foundation of what he calls radical humility, a leadership approach quietly reshaping organizations from Microsoft to Amazon. We live in an age that glorifies the confident CEO, the visionary who moves fast and breaks things. Yet this heroic leadership model, inherited from assembly lines and org charts, is failing spectacularly. General Stanley McChrystal discovered this in Iraq when a suicide attack killed 35 children near his command center. Despite superior troops, training, and equipment, Allied forces were losing ground to Al-Qaeda's decentralized network. McChrystal had to admit a painful reality. Their traditional hierarchy made them too slow, too rigid. Instead of doubling down on command and control, he transformed himself from chess master to gardener, creating conditions for others to flourish. His humble leadership shift improved effectiveness 17-fold. Leadership is undergoing a seismic transformation. We've moved from the industrial age through the information age into today's network age, where relationships are nonlinear, networks move at lightning speed, and younger workers demand meaning beyond paychecks. Yet most leadership philosophy remains stuck in the industrial age, with leaders positioned as sole experts atop organizational pyramids. Radical humility requires 5 fundamental shifts. Leaders prioritize deep self-awareness over projecting infallibility. They ask thoughtful questions rather than imposing solutions. They distribute power across teams instead of hoarding it. They practice radical transparency in communication. They invest in authentic, trust-based relationships, seeing employees as whole people beyond spreadsheets. These shifts manifest through 3 dimensions. Self-knowledge involves constant reflection and acknowledging you don't have all the answers. Leading relationally with your team focuses on building collaborative relationships and developing others. Leading relationally across your organization extends these principles to shaping culture and systems. Importantly, humility doesn't mean weakness. You can set aggressive goals, make difficult choices, and drive high performance while remaining open to feedback. Even Steve Jobs, despite his notorious ego, once said, "I don't really care about being right, I just care about success." That's intellectual humility in action. To lead with humility, focus like an elite athlete, achieving what matters while acknowledging you cannot do everything. Our culture celebrates busyness as a badge of honor when it's actually the antithesis of focus. Productivity and results matter, not frantic spinning. Olympic rower Jeremiah Brown won silver just 4 years after learning the sport through ruthless elimination of distractions. During training, he compartmentalized completely, focusing solely on athletic performance. Create a stop-doing list, one personal and one professional activity to eliminate, to free up time for what truly matters. Identify which 20% of your efforts produce 80% of your results, then double down on those high-value activities. Draft your why statement to create clarity about which projects to pursue and which to release. Your goals must cascade logically. Daily goals support weekly goals, which support monthly, annual, and ultimately your 3-year vision. Apply the same rigorous focus to relationships. When motivation for seeing someone stems primarily from obligation or guilt, that relationship belongs on your stop seeing list. When a Swiss colonel's team member suffered a heart attack in Kosovo, his network saved a life. Within hours, he'd verified the local hospital through the Swiss ambassador, contacted the best surgeon through a friend, and arranged backup evacuation options. This exemplifies the Swiss military motto, "In Krisen, Kopfe kommen." In crises, know the heads. Building relationships before emergencies creates trust when speed matters. A Glassdoor survey found 67% of workers value relationship-based culture over salary, rising to 74% among younger generations. Yet many bosses don't know basic personal details, children's names, significant life events. Being tender on people means acknowledging their existence beyond work functions. Organizations with strong cross-departmental relationships adapted faster to pandemic disruptions. When you know someone in IT from photography chats or finance colleagues from discussing kids' sports, problem solving becomes easier. Strong relationships create resilient organizations, like immune systems protecting against crisis while enhancing innovation. Koenig failed to complete the Race Across America, a 3,000-mile nonstop cycling race, after developing life-threatening pulmonary edema. Despite intensive preparation, he withdrew. Processing this required resisting the urge to immediately get over it. Disappointment and grief deserve time and space. The ABCD model helps process failure. After adversity hits, we experience shattered beliefs about ourselves, leading to emotional consequences. The key is to dispel unrealistic beliefs through sharing and self-reflection. Building resilience requires shifting from backward-looking, cause-oriented thinking to forward-looking, response-oriented thinking. After processing failure, apply a growth mindset, viewing challenges as learning opportunities rather than threats to fixed abilities. As Michael Jordan noted, "I failed over and over and over again in my life, and that is why I succeed." A year after his Ram withdrawal, Koenig completed his most successful ultracycling season ever, winning multiple races and setting course records. Failure isn't the opposite of success, it's the foundation. Psychological safety, the shared belief that team members can take interpersonal risks without fear of negative consequences, enables candor, mistake acknowledgement, and help seeking regardless of rank. It's not about lowering standards, it's about creating the foundation for fearless culture. Peter Skillman's Marshmallow Challenge proves this. Kindergartners consistently outperformed business students, lawyers, and CEOs because they focused solely on the task, experimenting freely, while business students were distracted by status management and fear of looking stupid. Google's Project Aristotle studied 180 teams over 5 years and found psychological safety was the most important factor in team effectiveness, more important than individual skills or tenure. Yet it remains rare. Boeing's 737 MAX crashes, VW's Dieselgate, and Wells Fargo's cross-selling scandal all stemmed from cultures where employees feared speaking up. The Fearless Team framework offers 4 steps. Reframe failure as learning, encourage speaking up through questions like, "What are we missing?" Acknowledge those who speak up, even when you disagree, and train psychological safety through shared experiences. When Alan Mulally took over Ford, all indicators were reported as green, despite massive losses. When Mark Fields finally reported a red status, Mulally applauded him, transforming the team's willingness to share problems. Simple activities like sharing meals foster psychological safety. Studies show firefighter and surgical teams perform significantly better when they eat together. When Michelle shared her negative 360 feedback with her team, acknowledging her controlling behavior and emotional volatility, the room fell silent. Her vulnerability earned immediate respect and led to significant improvement over 9 months. Many leaders view vulnerability as weakness, believing they must have all answers, creating bottlenecks and slowing progress. The Johari Window Model identifies blind spots as most critical for humble leaders, aspects everyone else sees but you don't. The 360-degree feedback survey, gathering input from direct reports, peers, bosses, and customers, is the most effective discovery tool. When leaders model vulnerability first, it creates a vulnerability loop where team members respond with openness, establishing trust. Vulnerability precedes trust rather than requiring it first. However, vulnerability must balance with competence. Humble leaders must demonstrate capability in guiding teams through challenges. Building a leadership factory, developing tomorrow's leaders, attracts exceptional talent. Stretching strong performers and coaching them toward their next career step typically retains them longer while preparing them for advancement. Radical humility isn't about diminishing yourself. It's about expanding your capacity by acknowledging what you don't know, building genuine relationships, and creating environments where others flourish. Your legacy won't be measured by what you knew or controlled, but by how many people you developed and problems you empowered others to solve.